of Levinstein about if a person is in charge of a Hillel on campus or an organization which has both religious and non-religious college students or members, and those who are in Shomer Shabbos request to have a weekly event Friday night where they have some sort of they try to have a davening service with a guitar or something in which break Shabbos, but you know they normally break Shabbos in other ways anyway. Is it okay for somebody to facilitate that, to okay it, or to provide a room for it in similar scenarios like that?
Osabi's point, this question should be discussed not with Yasmi or anybody else. This is discussed with people who apply to you. You're not talking about some issue which suddenly sprang up, caught everybody by surprise. So, then you have some, so the question is a substantive issue which you mentioned. This is obviously the kind of issue that in the sense of details, the kind of issue which is very problematic in the modern world in which we live. One time the institutions, the classes, the schools are like all the hands are from people. Well, I even said a question to all the institutions. The community itself consists primarily of people observant. Someone who was not regarded himself as being beyond the pale and didn't expect some special privileges or prerogatives. Characterized the modern world in general, the modern cultures, it's a Spanish version kind of culture. Read the literature, you know who the villains are, who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. If you just see them, you're not sure. So this is a general problem about the nature of some modern culture. We got the halachic issues more particularly so. There are two ways of dealing with this, and something to be said for each. One is to take out the shalom, apply specifically to this kind of situation. Along with the evil, see the ravir, etc., etc. The other is to assume that why you have to take these elements into consideration, but you can't do it only that. The question is what the social fabric looks like, what kind of issues you make concessions about, even if your issues which formally, as far as you think, you might be able to get around them. There was a question of where do you say you have the right to do an aveir and not to avoid a worse aveir. On the other hand, the Gemara Kedushin, with regard to Yifaster obviously is very problematic in every respect, halachically, morally, etc. And yet, Mark says the Torah condoned it because Muta Sheikh Israel Shuteris Ayurvelis. And he plays that Gemara, which is an incidental point, that consumption of meat in line with the Ramban and a number of places out there is regarded as being not also but undesirable. That's why you say if they're going to be eating meat already, so at least that'll be Shkutus and Avelis. To us, that would be a striking kind of comparison with Shkutus and Avelis. Shkutus a part of our daily fear, and mezuzah is also to love to. So that really makes that the application's principle that much more significant. The question is, do we have a right and do we have a desire to extend that principle? Generally speaking, in the Gemara, for the best of my knowledge, there's still a time that it appears. However, the Rambam and Shuvah, which primarily made famous, in effect, assume this principle that you can do this. The case there was, we got to Gzeirat HaRabbanon, not only got to Draise, Gzeirat HaRabbanon, someone was needed on the Shifka, and then she was Mishtachar. Someone is known to have, it's known and thought to be having some kind of fear of the Shifka, Shifka is also to Israel. So, and then she's Mishuchar. So now she's got food to Israel, she married. But the one is exiled. So we asked the Rambam about a case in which that particular situation came up. And the Rambam refers to this as Gemara Kedushin, Shulchan Aruch Avodas. Primarily the case, and more details now, but those are some similar situations of problem. Someone they're ready to get, the person they're ready to give South Africa, it was all pronto, and the question of cash to the Aiden. So he said, based on that Rambam, that one could extend this. To some extent, it's probably viewed. The context of the Gemara Sanhedrin and Chalks of the Shedim with regard to this. With regard to Bais HaEgel and Aaron's role in it. The Gemara says over there that Reish Rabbeinu came back in front of him, what do you do over here? And he said that he thought it was better to make concessions and play along with them, to go along with them. Otherwise, it will be realized if you're not a Hashem. Kain Vinovi, Pasinecha, which speaks to their very serious repercussions. That's what it says in the Gemara. At the end of that sugya, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, or a little earlier in the sugya, someone as Mitzvah Aveir, when they got to Chaler, Gazal, Chitin, and Ben Issa, and then the Mavish Chaler, Ains the Mavarech Elaminites, and Batsir Berech Neitz Hashem. Batsir, in the sense, not in the literal sense of the process, normally Batsir means someone who, like a Betza, crude, illegal profit. The Mavarech takes a Batsir as taking a Chalanika, Batsir in that sense. Batsir Berech Neitz Hashem. Now, the Gemara says towards the end of that sugya that this pasuk is intended with reference to Aaron. Question, which pasuk? So one day there in Shem is a pasuk about Mitzvah Neis Hashem, reference to Aaron, obviously very critical, as well as Rashi learns. And then the pasuk there, and then we could say to the Messiah Gil.
Okay,
So Mikrozer Rashi says, Tesla learns the other part of the brings, which is praiseworthy with regard to Aaron. That refers to Aaron. Two very different views as to what should be taken more seriously. Now, if there is Nisa here, the question is what are we talking about? Is Nisa cooperating for Venezuela? The question of evil is it more generally the other issue, the public image, the public square, what does that look like? Another description about here. And basically, there are clearly different dispositions with regard to this. I'll give you a simple example. Mr. Feinstein is a shuva. If you are in a small town, there's no minyan on Shabbos. As people drive, what should you do? Should you tell them they should drive to shul? Tell them there won't be a minyan on Shabbos? Tell them to come and not to drive, it won't work. So he says, Shulmeifrin, if they're driving, you can't encourage them to come to shul and tell them minyan on Sunday. I ask you that's clear. Particularly since you're dealing with an issue which is not just an occasional issue that comes up in some fluky situation. The number of small town congregations decreasing greatly. Still, there are many parts of the world which there are not 10 Shabbos Shabbos Jews to come. That's what it's. Yeah. Rabbi Shlomo, the two things I heard about him, one just for the first time last night, another time. There were instances of people who wanted the chesed of tshuva, and total tshuva. And the Rebbe said to them, don't be chesed of tshuva totally, you may not be able to withstand it. And then you might again return to what you had been. Take my step and do it slowly. There's no Sefer Shulchan which says you can do something like that. Unless you assume that Rebbe had a sharp penetrating vision, he had a sense of where these people were headed. Last night someone told a story that Avnevia told him that he had gone to the States and then wanted to go see the Bab Shalem. And he thought, what? So then it's a time when the Rebbe used to give him, people stood in line for hours to get $1 from the Rebbe in the middle of the night. Everybody wanted $1, you got 15 seconds to talk to the Rebbe. He's thinking what she talked to the discussion with Rebbe. And decided the issue discussed with him. He said to Rebbe, he knows he's doing something wrong because he has a mixed youth group. Should he stop? And the Rebbe said to him, what you're doing is no good, but the alternative is worse. Continue. But that's an easy thing to say. It must count to the greater of the evil, unless you're willing to invoke a Meshusha B'Zalmas Shura. Shalom is a which has enormous ramifications for the evil. Shalom, it says, if you have someone visiting you who doesn't make brachas, should give me food. So Zalman is asked about the following question. Some material institution which was going to have a visit, likely in a summer day, a warm day, by some non-Shem Shabbat, non-Mavokim, Balabatim. People come, they come from a distance, they can't keep a glass of water. So what should they do? Shem told them, even though he says in a footnote, he knows the Chazanish disagree. Shem said, this is not a mikshul. A mikshul is something which makes you an impediment, which does, in some way affects you negatively. Here, taking the longer term view, if you give them to something to eat and drink, and they have a nice feeling to be properly hosted, properly cared of, they'll bring close to Yiddishkeit, and quite apart from the immediate benefits of getting some money from them, it'll bring them closer. If you don't do that, you simply anger them, and that'll be the end of it. Now, the principle that you have over here is one you can understand. The technical halachic element is what defining what's the issue of Mishnah. The last question you ask. As we see within these parameters, I don't understand how one can go along with a Mishnah Shuvah about Sunday.
What?
A Mishnah Shuvah about Sunday. But I admit that the reason that I feel ready to take a mind in this respect is because I think in a technical plane, you can work with Chayim V'Nara, Chayim V'Nara, how that's defined. Different days we got to that. Without that as an anchor, you need the broad shoulders of the Rebbe in order to deal with this. Another occasion, I remember reading a piece of Newsweek which dealt with the question of compromise. And then quoted the Rebbe saying, the problem with the conservatives is not that they compromise. The problem with them is they make a principle out of compromise. But also a certain attitude. I'm imagining if I were in your situation, I would not make some decision based on Pesach, which could be universal. You have to suggest particular factors. Look for any kind of loophole that you can. But that's the point at which you have to decide. It's arguable that even if technically it's not an evil, but you can't encourage people to do something which does so have a hand in it. And the problem is saying they're rabbi or like it, or they're all over. Whenever you're in a mixed situation, that's what you have. People in the army, don't tell me it's in the army. You have similar problems of all kinds. If you're on duty, many telephone on Shabbos. So, in terms of the right to answer the telephone, you have a right to answer it. A duty to answer it, or something which is a security interest. But half the time, not more than half the time, the phone calls, a girlfriend is calling up to one of the soldiers, so what do you do? You have to take into account the broader picture. What the impact would be if you take a very hard line, a softer line. That's where Shuzano comes in. At the same time, take into account the specifics, the details of the Sayyir and Shneva, and try to go, if one assumes, probably stamp on that's what you need, well, the Shneva is those who make Helium to be mindful of that too. And so on. But it's far beyond the Mashal. Yes.
I want to know if there is, if there's truth in other religions, and if so, how do we approach or use the truths in other physicists?
I think that's the beginning of the question.
I wanted to know if there are, if there's truth in what we learned from other religions, from other faith systems, and if so, how do we approach and utilize those truths?
It depends what you're talking about. I mean, obviously, there's nothing much you can do with Trinitarianism. If you're talking about some religious elements, which are themselves positive, spiritually speaking, then you might be able to derive some spiritual benefit from reading things you see, and maybe they have some practices which are directly ritual. Whatever is directly ritual certainly is also. That's what the Ramban and the Rambam learn with regard to the psukim, Parsha Ve'ei, which can be learned two ways. יחיד ישור קרא את הגויים של רבשון על רשת אותו מפניך ורשת אותו נשבת אותו בארצם ישם מלוך הפניין כי יש אחרי הם אחרי שלו מפניך ופן תדור של אלוהם למו איך ילדי בבית אלוהם תסתכל גם אני לא תעסקי על שם לוקח כי כל דבר שם סובי עשו לאלוהם גם בבניהם ובנותיהם סבורי של אלוהם. What is this referred to? So the one Sanhedrin, this refers to Rabbi Zohar. Rabbi Zohar has two tracks. The track which involves the ritual of the mode of worship of a given Rabbi Zohar, it calls its routine, even though that is not find any place in our world. And on the other hand, the four special avodot, which are done in Mikdash, for the Bnei Shalom, those should not be done for some other deity, regardless of whether it's ritual or not. That's what the Gemara learns. The Ramban, apparently the Ramban as well, because of course it's for us. The Ramban says no. This refers to that means what is the second Gavani mean? What is the positive second Gavani mean? It's a question of how you want to worship the Ben Shalom. You should not imitate or try to duplicate that which is being done by the Gavani in their ritual. The Rav applied this in another context. He was very much opposed, although he knew most people do it, stained glass windows and shuls for this reason. And now whether And that, I mentioned here once before, in the 18th century when reform first began, so at that point they were still trying to be halachic. So they relied on the Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda says, we've got the Issa playing music instrument on the Shabbos. Issa Darbanan. So the Rav Yehuda says, if you have a, for a certain mitzvah, if you have a great playing, it's mutar. But Rav Yehuda, if you have a chasen on Shabbos, if you have a great playing music, we rely upon that generally, but they want to claim they were lying upon that. Those who criticized him, you think of an ambigo, said you've circumvented the Issa Drabanon of play music, but from where do you get the organ to begin with? The invitation goes down to the churches. It comes as this is the race. Whether indeed that applied, or to take this with what I was talking about, I think there was one other factor which I don't recall it related to. Psukim, which speak of not imitating the goyim in general, that's this pasuk here today, the two psukim, three psukim, Achimayis, the Kedoshim, all make reference to following the mode, the conduct of the goyim, where you had been, Chavayas Mitzrayim, or Chavayas Kanan, which you had. In other contexts, with regard to the Issa, the Chitun, Chavayas Tanoim, Chavayas Abedrayim, and Aloch, they fight all goyim, as a problem to go to Shiva Amimim. If you take Shimon Shita or Shiva Amimim, and apply it here as well, so it will only be the Shiva Amimim. And then if one were to take Christianity, would that be a problem? That I don't know. So anyway, if one was imitating a mode of worship, that would certainly be out of the question. If but you have something which is not a mode of ritual worship, but the ways they have practiced, they have the priests speak at a certain point. What he said, this is a good idea. He reads a big polyptilium. That could be. But there are two different kinds of issues to come up in this connection. One is this general area of worship, Betsky Gamani. That has to do with extracting certain spiritual elements, some components from some religious system, and find something positive with it, the content, the moral elements, etc., of using that. That, I think, could be done, provided it was not something which then becomes part of the ritual, but some text is incorporated. All these things require some care. That's what the associations are. Did you structure your time in the shul, or was that matter the architecture of a shul, in order to have it correspond to some other religious system? That also comes under Kugisera Mesilechu. The other question of who said to the tune is applied, as you raised before. Whatever is very much in the public arena, I think I'll be very reserved with that. Television is more private to the nature of what's this experience. all kinds of things a person can read which should be written by people outside our fold, but which can have very similar content, religiously speaking.
Regarding the pasuk of Paserches Yadechu Masbilechu Chayarzon, how do we understand that in regarding the amount of poverty and disease and struggles that people in the world live with?
It's a good question. So suddenly we've got this pasuk. He's having some Muslim, especially in Jerusalem. The end of the most nice of the city of the city. Literally, to be able to say that the Mishlim supplies all the needs of all creatures all the time is at variance with the factual element, with what you see around you. The Pasuk you mentioned specifically may not attend that. It says that all of the aegises were of the Ben Shlem, so they get something. Not necessarily that they are being given the full complement of that which they want or that which they need. My father was so always to say that this, now he's the Pasuk, it's so difficult to understand, to integrate. Beyond the center of the time. There is, in the phrase of Rambam, so Muslim, an emphasis on universal element. It's not a sakura, the chesina of the bracha. It's not a sakura, the kula, the beginning of the bracha. So in this respect, the emphasis upon supplying the needs, not necessarily of Jews, but everyone is clear. Part of the Jew quoted Chol Chai. That speaks not only of people, even of the animal world. He more speaks of that, the Rosh Hashanah, from higher to lower, those elements in the scale of being. But to speak of total care, that part of the problem of evil generally is evil and suffering.
There may be certain areas or topics in the Torah that may arguably be immoral to these standards. For example, killing Amalek and Shiva Umais, whether it be women or slaves. How do we view such differences from today's standards?
How do you deal with what? With the existence?
Does that mean that we're wrong and the Torah is right? Or how do we deal with if something appears immoral to somebody, and if the Torah allows it or advocates it, how are we supposed to do that?
I'm so confused. You're asking about the question of Chiyas Amalek or. This is a Amalek.
Killing Amalek or killing the Shiva Umais, which seem to be on today's standards to be immoral. How do we? Does that mean our standard of morals are wrong?
There's no question of the city of years within which when counted Tzivuim, which had it not been a super, we would not have initiated our own. That's what is clear. I don't think we have a right to say that our moral standard is higher than the Ben Shalom's. And clearly we have to think in terms of a more limited perspective which we have, which does not give us the ability to see all aspects, all facets. But we can't don't sit judgment on the system of Shem Eterim. There's not much that we can say, but it's more than Eshev HaChayik than Mishpat. But beyond that, one of Medrash, which some quoted this connection, and I forget the details of it, that shows why Shaul was reluctant to undertake it, that he has some reason, or seeks in some way to justify and rationalize Shaul's opposition against that, against Tzav Shmuel. But the bottom line is Halach, it's there. But certainly it's not something which we can really understand or adumbrate. See, one needs to think in any event, let's regard this as a pattern. We have to do kinds of mitzvahs, some mitzvahs which you take to stay with that particular instance, particular case, but also to be paradigmatic, being an archetype for what kind of thing you want to do, you ought to be doing. And you have others which have a local context, but that context, because of its severity, because of special circumstances, is not one which would then be transferred readily to extending the boundaries of that. So not only Amalek, making Seder Shavah, or make Matzah, the Binyanav, they should apply to other communities as well. That he certainly don't want to do. But beyond that, we don't understand,
What about, let's say, slaves? Does that mean it's moral to have slaves?
What about?
Slaves.
The definition of slavery.
I mean, because someone say, say for me, I don't think
that's the big kind of issue. That's something which in our circumstances, it's not readily adaptable, readily thought to be proper, given the status of the people who are involved, the nature of the community, etc. In other contexts, their context, that's something which is part of the norm. It could be understood as such. So it sets a different reality. That Tabalia theory doesn't apply, that reality was there as well. Some of those who written with regard to Tanya Mitzvahs have written this vein. Yeah, we've got to have us to send a dual message. One message is the accepting the institution within its context. The other is attempt, as far as possible, to soften it, to reiterate it, to humanize it. If you look at the Sabadim, the night work in which he deals with it, last halacha in the Chassidim, so I'm always following. Mutar avu bebeknani beferach, rabbi shadin kach, midat chassidu betarchi chokhma, שיהודם רחמן ועולב צדק לא יכביד מולו על עבדו וייצר לו ויחילה וישקיר מכל מאכל ומכל משתה. חכמים ראשונים היו נותנים להם במקור תפשי ותפשי שיוכלים ומקנימים מזוי הבהמות והעבדים בסעודת עצמם. הוא אומר כי איני עבדים יד אדוניהם כי איני שפחה על יד גבירותיו. לכן לא יבזר ביד ובדברים לעבדו בסרן הכתוב ולא לבושה. הוא ידבר עליו צעקה וחץ, לדבר עם המנחץ, לשמע טענותיו. אחרי פרש בדברי איוב, עם דרכי איוב הטובים, שישתבח בהן עם אמץ משפט עבדי, ועמתי בריבה מימדי, אבל בבית הרסן ירסהו, וכונן ולחם אחד. בין האכזריות והעזות מצויין אלא בעקום, עובדי עבודה זרה, עבודה ראש אברהם, אבינו, ועם ישראל שישפל עם הקדוש ברוך הוא תורה, טובת התורה, וציווה אותה בחוקים ומשפטים צדיקים, רחמנים מהם על הכל. וכן מידותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, שציוונו להידמות בהם, ומבואו ורחמו כל מעשיו, כל המערכים, מרחמין עליו שהם מתר רחמין לכל ידבך. אז זה תנאי פה כאילו חסבדים, זה פייל עבור. עכשיו תקריא את הטון, את הטבע של רם צלסיר, and I'm such as I'm speaking to you, first of the curious, the Chazal, the Tanakh, and the thrust of the Abbas himself, But the Busha is the central theme here to make it pretty much a working relationship. What for us, of course, much more problematic in this respect is not so much the whatever is inflicted upon him, whatever punishment or penalties, whatever it is, but the loss of liberty per se. That's something which some contexts is enormously important. In others, it's not something which people strive particularly. But I grant you, this is not, this is that is very different from T.S. Ramoli.
The halakhic underpinnings of the authority for the authority of Medinat Yisrael, and on what basis did most of the Torah world reject that foundation, and what are some of the most important ramifications of that disagreement?
The landmine. Open landmines. This is subject of vehement disagreements between different schools of thought here in Israel. And the interface of political thought and halacha. People that come out of America, today they've changed the tune somewhat, but as long as they were in control, they try to push it, not be based on the consent of the government, not no social contract, nothing of that kind, that they thought was secular stuff, which was going after the Jews. Jews, Mach Yisrael, Tzad Mamrachti. And they were very insistent, seeing to it that the underpinnings, you can phrase it, of the government here be the parish of Malchus, the Malchim, and so on, to the exclusion of either the social contract, to the exclusion of Dina Mechusetim. The Dina doesn't have that kind of royal ring about it. Sounds like contractual agreement, or the social contract does. And they want something which is world shaking, etc. That was one end of the scale. Below that, you know, one of these theories, political theory regarding sovereignty in general, the Adino Kusatina, or the equivalent of the governed. People who were inclined or disinclined to based on the Pasha Malchus and rejected the Magus approach could still choose between a social contract type of theory and a Dina Mechushadina. Dina Mechushadina, for those who are looking to limit the element of sovereignty, better. The Din of Husadina, first of all, according to many of the Shadim, has serious limitations. What is the life that applies? There is no room for it to say the Suyim, who let the years of Mammon, perhaps only to Kakois, not to Metatlin. And the top of things off, the Rhine Dome of Professor Malalov and the Yazoo at the end of Baba Kamer said there's no Din of Chusadin in Nazi soil, these are the Jews. The Sunni Chusadin is based on the fact that I own the land, you want to be here, I, the community, the government, own the land, you want to stay here, stay, but you have to play with the rules. But as far as they say, that belongs to the government, belongs to every Jew equally. So you assemble the scale, you start starting with the Mamachti, wind your way down, you get to more pragmatically oriented arrangements, some kind of lower level contractual arrangement. That's what it's all about. Now you can go below that as well. Speaking to the Din of Chusadina, that could be a national scale. And at that plane, the national scale, there have this semi-contractual arrangement. There are many laws in this country which are passed by municipalities, city councils, etc., etc. Those are, number one, much more clearly purely contractual in nature, and number two, they're limited in scope. Not so much with regard to the question of kinyonim or not kinyonim, who owns the land. That certainly can be within the city, but limited in the sense that Sarakol is just a local municipality that does a sweep of a nation. And that was open to questions about to what extent the concept of a nation, political terms relevant to the ancient world, but leave that aside. If you talk about something at the municipal level, what authorities are over there? So here, there's some speech shoot to me, which was from the local council. I couldn't just how they select, etc., but that's a possibility. And one of our ambassadors, the test, and the deceptive of a comment, that they can impose taxes, Meir, if you don't have a shooter, you have a council. They get together and for the ordinances. Now the question is, what limitations, if any, there are on Shirut Veir or Bnei Heir? Yes, Rechayis Mishra Shehim. Remember, Vaslav Tess says that Bnei Heir are showing the post-tax, etc., but they need, if there is a Chochem there, they need to get his approval. He has a veto power in order to enable us to go through. The Megash and the Rambam say that's not necessarily the case. That is what's said in the Gemara, in the case where you deal with something which is not citywide, then you need that kind of agreement. But there's this agreement there, which the local butchers, so whatever the guild might be, arranges to have all kinds of labor laws. Who shechts when, and how many days will you shech, etc. But that was done not to the benefit of the city, but to the benefit of the butchers. Each guild is only looking at its own benefit. So they need to be certain that it's fair, decent. But otherwise, according to the Yashad and the Rambam, we don't require that kind of approval. I think it's very significant that we've got some of the issues coming up as well. The kind of issues come up here if you work with the Dinukhus movement. Someone came to speak to me, a fellow from the Natharisha of Indonesia. And he got an argument with the authority, the government paid taxes, etc. So he says to me, I said, Dim Khush at the end. So he says, no, it's not as the soil, no Jimusdin. So he said, you know what? I'll straight bargain with you. And let's say my bargain, but I'll point out to you what you should do. The Gemara says you can only travel the roads. The lands have been expropriated, the trees which are used for bridges have been expropriated. They exercise eminent domain on the part of a state or a city which has the right to expropriate on the condition that they give compensation. Now you, since you think that's basically most of Dina Bukhusadina. How do Dina Bukhusadina? Because we see that the government expropriates land and wood. People travel the roads. Apparently, the authority of the government to run the country enables that. Since you don't recognize the authority of the government, so you have to do one or two things. Either stop paying taxes and succumb to the authority of the government, or stop using the roads because no basically people will be guessed. The other issue that comes up in similar vein is the one that said, previously, which practice is a mechila. Rashim bin Yair, the Kotzim, Shal, Chomishi Yavor, Yadshu, Turkach, Mekach. Even though it's only for local guild, it's probably not for their benefit. They're unable to do that, they can charge a penalty. Next, our Rashim, and Shem Yod, Suk, 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 יצחק ירור, ויצא בזה. כל מי שיעבור על תנאי, ינשו את זה כך וכך. באמת דברים אמורים במדינה שיהיה בחכם, חכם חשוב לתקן מעשה המדינה, להציע לפי יושביה. האם יש בכוח, אם יש באדם חכם, וכזה חרשו, אין התנאי שלהם מועיל כלום, לא יכולים להרוש ולהפסיד כל מי שלא קיבל התנאי, אם כן ניתנה עמהם ועשו מדעת החכם. כל מי שהפסיד את התנאי שאינו מדעת החכם משרם. ידעם עשו על החסוד בבני עיר כנדו, או את בימו יסיקו. קדיפשן וחכם, ידעו עם אשר ידעם איפה את הסקד. מי יסו, מסיסטר, בגלל שאתה ביססו, it's only relevant to that the second. The first is here, there's a public element, public square, and there you don't require the chacham. It's relevant right here, of course, in Israel, you have a Knesset, a legislative center, but you can't say it's a chacham chashuv, it's your veto power of the legislation. So if you don't accept the Rambam's Migash, much of that legislation may not be valid unless you work with some other principle. You know, with Adina, it would be different than Bnei Yehiel. If however you do so, the Rambam's Migash say, then the legislation passed by the Knesset, you would not require Tzachar Mekosh. More recently, there's not been so much written about this. Around the time, the beginning of the Medina, there was a group called Rabbanim, Poyer Mizrachi. They had a journal called Torah Medina, a series of articles there which dealt with these issues. Looking back in retrospect today, what we said, the naivete was overwhelming. If you have read those writings, I think it was in utopia. But whatever it is to deal with this, these issues in the theoretical plane, that they can find relevant material.
After Yom Tovim last time, last year I was in a group and they spoke about it. Somebody said, oh, wonderfully Yom Tovim, etc., etc. And then somebody almost shouted it down by saying, you know, I don't understand Yom Kippur. He felt over, you know, he says, I'm a good Jew, or the Chatasi, the Dalchets didn't mean anything, the Viduin didn't mean anything, because what I'm very, you know, we're learning, we're giving tzedakah, we're kaviyatim l'tayre. It cast a pall on me. It's not me. Slichas and Alchet and Viduim. And I just didn't know how to react to it.
The question is people are concerned that they don't do these Averas, but they...
Yeah, we're not. That's not us. We're good Jews. We're doing the X, Y, Z, going to Minyan. We're davening. We're learning. So this thing has, in fact, affected our mood on Yom Kippur in a strange way.
Maybe they feel that there's too much vidu there. This is a bit of an issue. It's become more of an issue with the passage of time. Vidu Shav in the Gemara are very brief. Either I was in Chotanim, or with that other senior, or it was the Shamnu. Running through the Aleph Beis, the first signal to the third Zitana. What's that Aleph Beis? That certain person can say with good conscience, it doesn't specify, it doesn't say murder anything. Then I think, yeah, certain things which are said I'll suffer. To be a Kobe, we'd be a Kobe, to be a Tzuchayim. But instead of Vidui, if a person goes out, maybe he gazel. And maybe he did, not intentionally, intentionally. With something very specific, you have a problem. And should the second problem correctly, Chayadim included something that Rabbi is the Suez. It's in parentheses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who put it in parentheses? I don't know whether he did it or somebody else. But that, there you have a case of that. When I say these things have become more problematic because the lists keep getting longer and longer. No one just says it's a shaman. Okay, you already have the Al-Khet. Today people come with every Al-Khet.
Yeah, booklets.
Yeah, all booklets, bottom button, triple. There's a dilution there with the concept of Khet. It dilutes the concept of Khet and says, the awareness of Khet. But on the other hand, a person does not think that every time he says, goes down, that means he yelled up a bank. But all modes of gezel, which gezel is time, gezel is shush lebidas, all kinds of things a person does. If you find someone safer without his permission, he's makpid, it's also a question of gezel. They want us to adapt more or less to whatever is possible. It's possible about this particular situation. That I think it is. If you say these people feel upset, those are the answer why they feel upset. They feel upset because they're claiming, when you put it to their mouth, that they never did. But they think keeper, they don't like sin. James writes about Emerson. Emerson didn't like to talk about sin. That good, very good quality. The conscience, the words of Chet, the cause of Chet, which is meant not only the knowledge about a particular myself, a particular category of Avera, but the cause of Chet, an awareness of the depth, the intensity, the turpitude. Hence, the general categories of aspects of human existence. That is unfortunately very much a part of life.
Okay.
Tonight. I don't know if they understand. Look outside.
That's what we said on Shabbos.